Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been hanging around already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. Beverly Inman Eagle is our Inman Eagle. Let me start over again, folks. Beverly Inman Eagle. She soars like an eagle, but her name is Eagle, and she's our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the author of Talk Is Not Cheap, which is one of my favorite books, and a number of others. She is one of our top communications experts, and she's here to talk to us about a very important and a very timely topic. Beverly Inman Eagle, who soars with the eagles, welcome back.
Thank you, Jim. I kind of like that twist on my name. Sometimes people will pronounce my last name Abel, and I like that also. Yes, I'm Abel.
Well, how did you like the way I got myself out of that little jam I was in?
I didn't step in. I knew that you were capable of getting your foot out of your mouth.
Hey, listen, I'm a married man. I know how to dodge these catastrophes.
And that's a good segue into, since you mentioned you're a married man, that this is Woman's History Month.
How about that?
Yeah. You know, it's amazing in a country that is as civilized and a world leader as we are that women in our country haven't had the vote for very long.
You know, and you know what else? A number of other countries. This month, I guess, I've forgotten what day it was. I think it was last week. One country, I've forgotten which one it was. Women were allowed to vote in that country before they were in this country. And I'm trying to remember which country.
Oh, certainly. Certainly.
What was the year that women were given the vote in the United States? I've forgotten. In the teens,
well,
wasn't it?
You know, I think we could go back much, much further than that. There have been some civilizations where, you know, women had equal rights.
Right.
You know, back, was it the Egyptians, the Romans? But we are making progress now. I had the honor 3 years ago of meeting and having a very nice conversation with the first woman president of Iceland.
Huh.
And
do you remember her name?
No, I can.
Could you
tell
say
you
it if you could you
like.
Say it if you remembered it?
Pardon?
Could you say it if you remembered it? They have names that are hard to say.
That would be very doubtful, but unfortunately...
But you remember what she looked like. Describe her to us.
I do. She was a very tall, regal woman. She had silver hair. She wasn't a beautiful woman, but she was very stately. Okay, so she
a handsome
very,
woman.
Very poised.
Mm-hmm.
A Viking, yes.
Yeah.
and yet, as dignified as she was also quite humble. Because someone told me who she was and made the introduction to me. I was at an international event for women business owners. And we must have had a chat for about 15, 20 minutes. And I was asking her, you know, what it was like. And she was one that brought to my attention again, you know, that her country and other smaller, lesser countries, as far as the world powers are concerned, you know, actually had women contributing to the government long before the United States did. And she was most humble, and she didn't have security guards around that I could see.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, I don't know, it was fascinating to meet her.
What are you seeing? Now, you've traveled around the world and on behalf of women's issues, and in especially in the recent years, you've been a national leader in women's issues, as well as in addition to your day job, I might add. What have you seen in terms of the progress women have made in the last, say, 20 years globally? What do you think?
Well, I think in many third world countries, there's there's still so very much to be done.
But has progress been made? I know we don't like where we are, but I guess my question is, even though we don't like where we are, do we like the trend?
Yes, it's getting.
I mean, shouldn't we celebrate the trend?
Yes, I think we need to not wait until we get there, but celebrate the moments along the journey. And we're definitely getting there. You know, I went to what I consider to be a very strict country of Libya a couple years ago, and the women that I met with had never been out for dinner with other women before, ever. And the only reason that they came was there was this conference that, you know, there were three Americans that were coming to speak at this conference. And that just amazed me. Now, they told me, oh, don't worry. We have wonderful times inside our homes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm striving to be respectful, and I'm saying, but it's so good you're out.
Phyllis, hold on to that thought. Quick break, folks. 22. Stay with us. It's 17 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. We're having a great visit with our good friend Beverly Inman Ebel. Beverly is the author of Real Communication Strategies, Real World Communication Strategies, I should say, and also Success is a Decision of the Mind. She's also the author of Talk is Not Cheap. And Beverly, give us your website too, please.
TalkListen.com.
Check it out when you get a chance.
They can get a free newsletter on the upper right-hand corner. You just click on to receive the newsletter. It comes out every month, and there's a different topic each month. And this month it's on public speaking. Next month it's going to be on the value of humor in the workplace.
It's a good one, too, folks. I'm a happy subscriber and have been for a long time. In fact, I was a subscriber when it was a print newsletter.
That's right. We have evolved.
It's been a while. We all have.
Just like women are evolving. See, I'm an example of
you're,
that.
You're the king of the queen of Segway, aren't you, Beverly? Okay, let's talk about what. Let's talk about what when we if we're talking about Women's History Month, don't we have to talk about the women in history? What? Give us an example of some great women in history.
Well, the first one that comes to my mind, and it's not the first one, but would be Eleanor Roosevelt. I think she was incredibly intelligent.
Long-suffering.
Gained the respect of not only all citizens, both male and female, but of the world. If you read her quotes and, mm-hmm. and what she stood for, and she wasn't a let's sit in the White House and you know, be nice type of woman. I mean, she, if she were alive today, I think she could run for president.
Probably could. Well, exactly. And then you got great people like Golda Meir. You've got Margaret Thatcher Golda Meir, of course, of Israel, Margaret Thatcher of Great Britain, Indira Gandhi of India, people like that. Obviously, the obvious ones. But you know, Beverly, when I think about women, and I think about what Maya Angelou said one time. I heard her speak one time, and I'll never forget that she said. You know, she said everything I'm paraphrasing her because I don't remember the exact words she said, but she said everything that I am, everything that I have, someone else bought and paid for me to have.
Mm-hmm.
And she was talking about her ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
And the theme of her story was it was a women's conference, and the theme of her story were the women in her life, her mother and her grandmother and her great grandmother and women like that. And I think about the women's shoulders that you and I stand on. You know, I think about the to me, great women in history include people like my grandmother.
Oh, definitely.
Who raised three children through the Depression and earlier than the Depression, actually, some of them. And the only time she ever spent the night in the hospital was when she was 91 and she broke her hip.
Right. And, yes, our mothers...
I mean, talk about strong.
Yes. Our mothers who, you know, took over the factories during World War II, our grandmothers who led the way before that. And we go back to the woman suffrage movement. I mean, if you think about those women, you know, some would say, oh, they were hard and crass and they were, you know... No, they believed in something, and that was the only way to get it done. And by the way, it was a man in Tennessee, a representative in Tennessee from Sweetwater, Tennessee, mm-hmm. who cast the deciding vote that women would get the vote, the right mm-hmm. to vote, right here in Tennessee.
Which is a big deal for somebody from Chattanooga, Tennessee, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well, you know, and I, when I think about. You know, the first women legislators, what was the lady's name who was the first senator? Margaret Chase Smith, was that her name?
Yeah, I'm not.
Was that who that was? I've forgotten. But I think about all those women who broke the ground for all the others. And, you know, I know that women are good about recognizing the, you know, those who've gone before them and they should be. So now that you know we've got these Women's History Month. What are the events? Are there events going on this month that are things that women can contribute to, can join?
There are, and a good reference place, which I'm going to refer your listeners to a website. It would be nawbo.org, and that stands for the National Association of Women Business Owners. And there will be a calendar of events there that will others can participate in. NABO has 80 chapters across the United States, and they're all like I spoke last Thursday at an event. I'm speaking this coming Thursday at an event about women. And by the way, last Thursday was International Women's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was
right.
A lot of fun.
We announced that on the show.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I dressed up in my long robe that I received in Libya and talked about all the women that I have met along the way in the various countries, and we just had a wonderful time. By the way, I realized a Parade magazine came out in January and listed the 20 worst dictators. Actually, the title was the 10 worst dictators in the world.
I saw that. Mm-hmm.
They listed 20. And that's when I realized that I, in the last 2 years, have been to 3 of those countries.
Right. And notice that not one of those dictators are women either, right, Beverly?
No, they're not.
I'm sure you noticed that. Stand by, quick break. Right back after these messages. I got to be a dictator for a minute and take us to a break. Tintail, stay with us. We'll be right back.
We're laughing and I'm joking and we're feeling all right. Oh, I'm back. I'm nationwide.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Beverly Immonable, and we're talking about Women's History Month. You know, Beverly, Phyllis Martin was with us in the previous hour, and previous half hour, I should say, and we were talking about the importance of not saying words that we shouldn't be saying, using good grammar, speaking properly, and paying attention to what we say. And she was saying that, you know, that high school graduates use 20 words a day, do 20 things a day that are improper, and college graduates do 5. And she said that people with graduate degree do 10 a day, which I wasn't quite sure why that would be the case. But here's a question I didn't get to ask her. I wanted to ask you. Since women say about 4 times as many words a day as men do, does that mean they do more of those than men do?
It's quite possible.
You knew I couldn't resist that, Beverly. Huh? Or is it just that women are so much smarter than men, they don't do that? They do a better job with their grammar than men do.
There you go.
That's what it is. See, I got myself out of that one too, didn't I?
You did.
Talk to us about some organizations that women can check into, can look into to raise their consciousness, to become more aware, to find support groups, whatever they might need.
And I would encourage not just women, but men might also be interested in this.
Well, we need to know what you guys are up to.
Well, of course, you got to know what we're doing. A really cool website is Womenable. It's Womenable, womenable.com. And Julie Weeks, who used to be with the National Women's Business Council, this is her business now, and she's up in Michigan, and she's fabulous, and she is working.
I think Julie's been on the show before.
Yeah, Julie's great. If you've ever heard her laugh, you will laugh with her. But she's working with another organization that is now based in Europe to understand the current needs of women in the United States right now, to bring the next bill to Congress that says, okay, this is what we've done in the past. What do we need to do now? What are women in the United States needing from our legislators now?
So what do you think that is?
Oh, I think that there's a huge population of women who have stable but small businesses and actually really contribute to the backbone, as all small businesses do. But the thing is, they're not growing. And so I think it would be very helpful for legislation that would help small businesses to give them some advantages. Healthcare certainly.
But now, Phyllis, I'm sorry, Phyllis. I keep bringing up Phyllis because she's the other one. That's what it is. Beverly, sorry about that. Beverly, the women are the fastest growing sector in the marketplace. Women are growing, businesses are growing like crazy, and women have been given advantages. Isn't one of the things that women need to do is work on developing their own confidence? Because their access to capital is, the women tell me now that access to capital is there for women, that there's not the barriers to entry that there was 10, 20 years ago. Isn't the next growth level for women within themselves?
I agree with that, as I think it is with any small business owner. Okay. Now, when you say that, you know, women businesses are growing, yes, they are. But if you really take a hard look at those numbers from the Center for Women's Business Research, if you take that, you know, 10 million women business owners, and it, of course, if you get it down to where it's 51% women owned, that brings it down to about 6 million. And then if you take out all the businesses which are, you know, cosmetics and, you know, part-time,
right,
really not as much taking that risk. You're not putting your whole livelihood, or so many are not. Some are. The number comes down even more drastically, 2-3 million. Mm-hmm. So we look big at the one end, but that's
but
my
it's
point.
It's very similar.
Business owners are remaining small.
But the good news is that's what many of them want. And the good news is they can do that if they want to. I'm certainly, you and I aren't arguing about this. I agree with what you're saying. I just think that the next level is not government support. All small business owners need health care improvement. But I think the next level to me is to encourage each other, which is something you do very well. Beverly, give us your website one more time, please, Beverly.
It's talklisten.com.
Talk Is Not Cheap is also one of her books. Thanks, Beverly, for being here. Good job today.
Thank
we'll
you.
See you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.